Have you been tempted to, as Simona did with Maigret, develop?
I'd say I don't want to leave it up to anybody. The university should really, in a sense, suffer a much wider group of students than it does. It's not a closed society. The rate of crime on the campus is phenomenal. Do you want to move away?
What is this?
Those are Christmas killers.
Is that Christmas killers?
Yeah.
Why aren't you? What are you doing?
It's Jan Popper.
Can't compete with that.
No, it's good.
They got the real law here, so
let me just carry
really
this over there.
Oh yeah, I found the body.
I'll be back.
I'm now on the Los Angeles campus of the University of California, where a vigil is being carried out by a relatively small group of students compared to the rallies I've seen at the Berkeley campus. I should say there are, what, 200 or 300
at
most? Yes, not many more. Whereas at Berkeley, we had turnouts of thousands there at the rallies.
10 and 15,000.
Well, I'd hate to quote precise figures. I've seen quotes from estimates from 5 to 12,000. I'm not going to go into that here, but two gentlemen have been conducting a dialogue on the merits of both sides of this case, and this is the day that the regents of the university are deciding whether to accept the resolution, the proposals put forward by the faculty through the Academic Senate, a vote in the Academic Senate of the Berkeley campus. Now, what are the main points that you have on your sides in this at this particular stage? Let's start with an advocate of the free speech movement. What is your name, please?
Michael Commons, and I'm a student in psychology and mathematics. And the very simple summary I'll make just simply states that the university is an academic educational institution and not political, and therefore all political issues should be left up to the society at large, and the students should come under the jurisdiction of the courts with regard to political social issues. That's my basic statement.
Well, let's to this particular point, let's hear the other side of the picture. What is your name, please?
My name is Stan Perlow. I'm in history at UCLA. I have several points.
Would you like to answer his first and then make another point of your own?
Yes. Well, first of all, I think that a university, the University of California, Los Angeles, has students who owe a certain responsibility to that campus. And as a responsible group, as a group owing responsibility, it should in some way form its ideas to those of the administration, which are legally in power and hold the legal right to set administrative rules and rules for governing the university. I think that although we are all citizens of the United States, that many of the people that are attending this school are attending it with parents using the university as a substitute parent. The university is taking over their position of regulation, and as such, the university attains a higher degree of regulation, somewhat equal to that of a parent. That's basically what I would say in opposition to this gentleman.
Well, let me just ask one question. Do you think that anything that the administration does with regard to the students' activities on campus should be accepted because the students are receiving an education here and because of this parent-child relationship?
No, sir. I would say the university doesn't have the right to do anything. But I would answer it by saying this, that in my four and a half years at this school, and with the 4 years that my brother had before me, we have never seen the university place anything in operation that has inhibited the student body, that has prevented us from carrying out any constitutional right which is guaranteed to us by the United States. The only regulations which I have noticed are those which pertain to social regulation or administrative regulations concerning such things as parking or civil regulations for safety.
Well, let's turn now back to the spokesman, say, of the free speech movement to ask him what is the situation here that may correspond to what happened in Berkeley. Is the situation here similar to the one in Berkeley, or, as the gentleman says, has it been completely free for the students?
I hate to say it, as a student of UCLA, that we don't have complete freedom here. It would be nice if we did, and the student government really could represent the rights of the students completely. But a few years ago, we raised money through the student government to give to Freedom Riders, and the administration stepped in and said, no, this is not legal, this is not fair. You're now acting as students beyond your legal rights, and the students have been denied the right to collect funds to organize political activity on the campus in the past. There have been people who have been suspended from the university for trying to do so in the past, and it is only since Berkeley has taken the initiative in this area that these regulations have been liberalized to the degree that they have, but they're still not liberal to the extent that we need them. We still need a free university where the students are citizens of the United States and also students of the university, but in no way jeopardize their legal rights as human beings.
Well, let's listen to the other side now. For instance, he's mentioned this specific infringement on the right to raise contributions for the Freedom Riders.
I remember the incident. There's only a few problems with what he said. First of all, the vote taken on it was not sponsored by the administration. It was sponsored by the Daily Bruin, which is the campus newspaper. In no way was it stated beforehand that an approving vote would be considered binding. So therefore, it was merely a student poll, which has been taken quite a few times by our local paper. Secondly, the funds which were talked about are collected funds, student funds used for student activities on campus. We have a student union cost several million dollars, which came from these funds. The funds which this gentleman was so eager to send down south to the Freedom Riders, and although I agree with him in principle, I do not agree with him, in fact, that we should take the money which was specifically collected for the enjoyment of our particular students to send down south. Now, many of the students were pulled, yes. And also, that's one other fact. Those part of the money in that was registration fees and was not all collected freely and clearly, as this gentleman states.
Let's get a response.
I don't really believe that the university denied the students the right to send money for the Freedom Rides just on the basis that it was based on a poll. They made it rather clear at the time that they would not allow students to send money down in any form. It is also true that the regents decide how our money is going to be spent. We don't decide it. We have no voice whatsoever. If we want a student union, we have to ask the regents for it. If we want a football stadium, we have to ask the regents. We can't even tax ourselves. Not only that, the regents can tax us without our consent in any way. We're now going to have a very, very large football stadium that the governor and various people are opposed to. We were never asked whether we would want it. I am personally in favor, but I would have at least liked to have seen the students had something to say about it at large. And all administration policy with regard to students, it's always the administration's rights and powers and never the students' rights and powers. And I do think that students do have some rights and do have some powers just by the fact that the university does need students to form a university. Without any students, it would not have any teaching assistants, it wouldn't have classes, and it wouldn't be much of a university. With all the buildings and faculty, you still need students. And
what,
I think...
What about this point that the money that you mentioned was money that wasn't raised specifically to go to the South but was meant for other purposes?
The money in the... once the budget is decided by the regents, the students, in some sense, have a right to determine minor uses of it. And we can, for instance, pay for speakers that we invite on to campus. We can have all sorts of entertainment programs that we pay for. The latitude is not well defined as to what we can have and what we can't have. And when the administration doesn't like what we can have, it just arbitrarily steps in and says, no, you can't spend your money on this. And we would like to have it in some sense that students can decide how they spend their money with respect to their activities. At least if they can't do it through the official organ of the university, they can do it unofficially. And up until this time, it could not even be done unofficially.
Would you like to say something to that?
Yes.
I'm getting short.
The gentleman has mentioned time and time again that we as students have no rights to decide what's happening. Well, I'd like to make this point. We're students here. We have not been trained in administration. This gentleman said he was a psychology major. I'm in history. I'm not trained in school administration. As such, I forgo certain of my rights as an administrating person to the people who have been trained as such, the administrative
group. Is our administrative rights the issue?
Pardon, sir?
Our administrative rights issue? I thought there was a political matter of political rights.
Well, he's continually brought up the fact that the administration is doing things, inhibiting our actions. And I say the administration right is not inhibiting our actions. I say the administration is performing its function. And the function of the student is to be a student. The function of the administration is to administer as best it can to provide the best surrounding for the majority of students. And I think it's doing this.
How does one account for the different atmosphere on the two campuses? There's much more support for the free speech movement up in Berkeley than here, both among the students and the faculty. Here it seems to be very small.
This has been studied a great deal. One of the main things that people in sociology and psychology have mentioned time and time again is that this is a commuter campus and that the people don't live near the university and therefore don't identify themselves with the university per se. And this, in a sense, is just the opposite of what this fellow has been saying. The students, when they do identify with the university, do take part in it and believe that their political activity is their own and not the university's. When they live far from campus, they see that their political activity, in a sense, is more to their local communities, whether they live in Santa Monica or whether they live in Westwood or wherever. They're still far enough from the campus that they don't see themselves as having to act in the campus community.
Would you like to say something?
I would agree with the commuter campus, this being a commuter campus and Cal being otherwise. There's also certain other factors. The influence of the Greek, that is the fraternity and sororities on this campus, is a little bit larger than at Cal, since most of the student government is controlled by this group, and that is basically a more conservative group. Another thing, this group was also the group against this gentleman's view would have been here today. However, because of the vacations, because of housing commitments and many other things, the rain, they were unable to demonstrate opposite. Showing a much larger majority of the student body being against what this gentleman stands for than there are that are for it.
Do I read it right that there's a more liberal university community up in Berkeley than is here? This is more conservative?
Yes, sir, I would say that, definitely.
I would say that, on the whole, we don't know because there hasn't been enough political activity at this campus to test what the students really believe in when they have been able to receive information. We have to realize that this city has only one newspaper, one major newspaper, and in the San Francisco region there are many newspapers, and so we're continually denied, in a sense, access to general information in the Los Angeles area, whereas I would say that at the university...
With me now is Mr. William Stanton, Assemblyman for the 25th District in Assembly District of California. What are the political implications of this of these events on the campus, Mr. Stanton? Do you want to comment on this at this time, or what is the Assembly's interest in it? What is going to be the reaction to these events?
I would love very much to comment on it, and I, of course, will try. It's extremely complex. As far as the Assembly's interests go, I feel at this time many people are, of course, using it to promote their own political prestige and power, although this is not to detract from some of them. They're greatly concerned about the event. But I feel, too, that the legislature at this time has not been fully apprised of the matter, and that when they are, they will become somewhat less vehement. I'm very much opposed to any attempt to investigate the university on the part of a legislative committee. I don't think it would occur. If it did occur, with the present job market for university professors, you can safely bet that the most distinguished and respected professors at the Berkeley Institution would soon find themselves elsewhere, much to the detriment of higher education in California.
In discussing the situation as it developed here with people back in Canada, I kept being asked, how come they send state troopers onto the campus? Isn't there some principle in being violated here? How is this viewed in the legislature?
Well, I think perhaps a great many people thought this was desirable. I personally thought it was quite undesirable. That the governor, who must take responsibility and has taken responsibility for sending him on, now says that the events never should have occurred. A trivial matter was escalated into a major crisis. I don't approve of it. I think had they taken cognizance of the nature of the demands on the part of the young people, it wouldn't have happened. That it seems that every generation finds difficulty in understanding the aspirations and the desire to participate of the younger generation, and this is certainly a clear-cut case of it.
In trying to unravel the actual development of the situation on the December 2nd and 3rd, the first impression was that the university had invited police to come onto the campus, but later this was seems to have evaporated as a theory, and the police came on at outside orders and not with the real invitation of the university. Is that the correct case, as you understand it?
Well, I've tried to find the answer to this question, and I can't speak with authority. I can tell you the various opinions that I've heard, and if I were to make a judgment on the basis of those, I'd say that both parties were somewhat responsible for its happening. Some people have told me that the governor woke up the next morning and found out that he had ordered the police in, and this wasn't his intention, that he had only said, after being told that it was a dangerous condition and we should call in the police, he said, "We'll call in the police." But then a difficulty with this theory, of course, is it's hard to explain the presence of the state highway patrol there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, people have suggested to me in trying to see greater things in this that the development of action against the student activities on campus that brought this about was partly the result of pressure from outside, from Senator or former Senator Nolan. Do you share this view at all?
Well, I like to be very responsible before I make such a statement, but it seems apparent that the thing started because many students supported the candidacy of the governor of Pennsylvania against Mr. Goldwater, Scranton. And naturally, the civil rights movement, which the kids form a large part, I shouldn't call them kids, they're worthy of a better name than that, has as the backbone the students of the University of California. And they have been putting pressure on Mr. Nolan. And interestingly enough, and I think quite surprisingly, they say Mr. Nolan, who is the head of the white power structure in Alameda County, must agree to share power with them. It's interesting. It's a very, I think, important sociological development that the controversy has largely missed, that these youngsters are are challenging the older generation. They're saying that we want to express power, and the present avenues for entering and participating are blocked to them, perhaps because of their youth and certainly the reluctance of their elders, as has always been the case, to permit them to enter. So they're using new devices to get their point across and attempt to influence the matters. I personally consider them a highly moralistic generation, and in the parlance of American crime terminology, I think to a great extent they're suffering from a bum rap. And I was very pleased to see that the faculty of Berkeley voted 8-1, and I felt that it was essentially a vindication of the students' position.
What about the reaction of the faculty and the general student body here? It's been quite different from the reaction in Berkeley. There seems to be quite a different atmosphere here. They're not supporting the students up there, not even the faculty in Berkeley. They're supporting the administration.
Well, again, it's a complex thing. A number of people have asked me this, and I've suggested to them that, one, Berkeley has a much longer history, and it generally has taken the lead in changes. It's been more in conflict with the regents and loyalty oaths and student political action. It's more of an academic community. It brings the students together and provides the material circumstances or the environment for political activity. It's always been the leader in political activity. At UCLA, for example, doesn't have the kind of community where the students are apt to do this, and the faculty's newer. And too, I think some of the reason for doing this was an attempt to take an intermediate position. Some people said that we shouldn't confront the regents with an either-or proposition, and they felt by going for free speech and perhaps toning down some of the other things, particularly faculty jurisdiction in the matter of political discipline, that they would make the proposal more acceptable to the regents.
Where is your district? Is it Northern or Southern California?
I'm in Northern California, though interestingly enough, I'm a graduate of the University of California, and I taught at the UCLA campus for a while in the field of economics, and I'm presently practicing law in San Jose, which, for the information of your Canadian audience, is about 50 miles from San Francisco and constitutes part of the Bay Area.
Whenever I come down here, I feel that I'm in a much more conservative atmosphere down here than up in Northern California. And this too, is characteristic of the two university campuses, perhaps.
Yes, it is. There's no doubt there are some cultural circumstances which account for this. There seems to me to be more of an elite in Northern California and the Bay Area that's somewhat charged with a feeling of responsibility. They receive and demand a great deal of privilege, but they also exercise a bit more responsibility. Down here, the elite, I don't think, has progressed as far historically, so that they're more apt to demand privilege and repress those who would disagree with them, and unfortunately haven't accepted any responsibility for giving entry to other segments of the society whose needs are as yet unmet.
What is your reaction to the decision of the Board of Regents here today? It's really delaying thing, isn't it?
Yes, I wholly agree, and of course it's hard to characterize because the regents spoke with forked tongues, shall we say. There were at least four or five positions, some distinctly hardline positions, interestingly enough, coming from a munitions maker who was anxious to get along with the disciplinary function. But other people, I think, are somewhat apprised of the danger to the university. But again, maybe the regents haven't acted enough. I don't think they understand the younger generation, and unless they do, it's apt to be a tragedy, because these are moral people. They're determined, and they're deserving of more consideration, I think, than they were accorded today.
Yes. Are you hopeful that that the committee they've set up will get a good appraisal of the situation and more understanding view of it?
I certainly hope so, but as you say, it's also a cooling off process. And I think I might be inclined to do the same if I were the regents and someone was asking me to share my power and to make a decision under circumstances which you might feel you're being pressured. Yes. Although, how else do decisions get made other than under pressure?
What about the students who are arrested and face trial? Is there any hope of them being amnestied in any way, despite Governor Brown's statement?
Well, I really don't know. My guess is that it will either go to a long and lengthy trial like our recent civil rights things, and the courts will bog down and the district attorney's office will bog down, or an agreement will be made to, so to speak, cop a plea, and the students will get off rather easily, and the judicial and criminal administrative divisions of Alameda County will be saved from what is an almost impossible task.
Thank you very much, Assemblyman Stanton.
You.